This is HPR episode 2553 entitled Get Ahead with GitHub and is part of the series Introduction to Git. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 47 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is Klaatu helps you understand GitHub.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. You're listening to Hacker Public Radio. This is a continuation of my Git Basics series. The previous episode, on the 26th of March, I spoke about Git branching. And we played around with Git branches a little bit and found out how to do dev branches and all these other operations. And we did a couple of merges and we dealt with some merge conflicts. So you're kind of familiar with some of the basic concepts that I wanted to cover in this episode. Specifically, I want to talk about the concept of Git head. Now, Git head is the head of Git. is a weird kind of meta concept that a lot of people get very confused about, and that's because in a weird way head seems to move around a lot. But actually I like to think of it as this sort of framework where head doesn't move, the stuff underneath head moves. Let me explain myself and then tell you why you care. No, actually, I'll tell you why you care first and then I'll explain. So, in order to keep track of where you are in Git, you want to get very comfortable with the idea of the Git head. And this means that you have to be okay with your reality changing. Not really, but I mean the reality of your working directory completely shifting out from under you. So here's an example, and there are lots of different ways to think of this concept, but here's one way you can do it, and you can follow along at home if you want. This is an interactive exercise again. So if you have a mobile phone on you right now and you're not driving, launch a camera app, like just your normal camera application, and put your mobile phone about 6 inches above your desk. Now, don't look at the desk except through the camera. Take a piece of paper and place it under the camera and write something on it. For instance, the phrase, "Hello World." Okay, so you've just created a branch, and in that branch you've created a file, and in that file you've put the text, "Hello World." Now, if you move that piece of paper out from under your camera, now remember, you're not looking at your desk except through the camera, and then take another piece of paper and put that under your camera, and you write some different text, such as, "Goodbye World," now you've created a new branch with different text in it. So now you can move that sheet of paper away and get that first one back, and now my camera says, "Hello World," to me again. Okay, and I could swap them out again. Now it says, "Goodbye World." So what you're doing is you're switching between two branches of your paper Git repository, and you are viewing the branches through your camera with this live feed of everything that's happening on your desktop. So if you haven't guessed it already, then your camera in this exercise has been playing the role of the head, of Git head. And through that camera, that stationary camera, your world has been moving around underneath you. It hasn't really affected you because you're only looking through the camera, but everything under the camera has changed. So maybe that illustrates it, maybe that doesn't. Here's a different way to look at it. Well, first of all, I guess the same way to look at it would be like a microscope, right? If you're looking through a microscope, that would be Git head, and the slide that you're... Are they called slides? Is that what they're called on a microscope? I don't know. Those little things, the glass strips of like germs and stuff that you put under a microscope, those are your branches. And so you could look at malaria, and then you could take that slide out and put in streptococci. Is that a germ? I don't know. And then you could move that out and put underneath the microscope a dinosaur cell from a dinosaur, for instance. Do we have those? So there you go. That would be GitHead, and those would be your branches, and you could swap them out. I don't know how you would merge them. Genetics, I guess. And your GitHead has never moved. It is completely stationary, and everything's kind of moved around underneath it. Here's another example, or another way to think of it, if it helps. So maybe if you are familiar with audio equipment, old school audio equipment, you'll be familiar with a cassette tape. It's a magnetic strip of flexible material upon which people used to record sound. So if you put a cassette tape into a cassette recorder, then there's this thing, and it's called a playhead. Now, the playhead itself does not move. It does move, but it doesn't move around horizontally. It lowers itself down onto the tape itself, that flexible tape inside the shell of the cassette tape. So it lowers itself down onto that, and when the tape moves across it, you can hear sound. Or if you put it into record mode, you'll be recording sound onto the cassette. So if you think of that playhead as your git head, then that's fairly similar. It's this stationary thing which you can sort of smack down onto something and say, yep, that is where I am right now. And then at some point you can lift the head, you can swap out cassette tapes, you can lower the head down again, and you'll hear the different sounds. And if you really think about it, like how traditionally, like garage bands would record stuff, and in principle, you know, studio musicians record stuff this way, but they would record the drums on one tape, and then they would swap out tapes, and they would record guitar on the next tape, and then they would take those two tapes together, and they would merge them together into one track with drums and guitars. And all of this is done under this playback and record head that itself doesn't really move around the project. It's the media that you're moving underneath the head. Okay, so I'm trying to draw analogies that aren't as scary as what I'm about to say. So what really GitHead is a ref. It is a reference to something in your Git, let's call it a database. And the reason that you care about all of this is that the Git head starts to be very important when you're trying to figure out, among all these branches and all of the different data, all the merges that you've got or that you're thinking of doing, or the merge conflicts that occur, all of these different places, it starts to really create kind of a crazy-looking world map around you. And at some point, you have to stop, look around, and figure out where you are within Git. I mean, look, not all the time. If you're just using Git and you're just one user, this will probably never happen to you, or maybe it'll happen like once, because you'll forget that you're on one branch and then you want to merge into another that you meant to be on. So maybe there's some special case where it will happen to you. But generally speaking, one user, this isn't going to happen to you. You're not going to care. You'll never really need to get familiar with this concept. But once you start using it with lots of other people, and then they start changing files out from under you, and they forget to do something correctly, or you just happened to both be editing the same file, whatever happens. Or maybe you're just a highly experimental developer. You like to work on one project, and then you like to go out and fix a bug in another area of that project, and then you have another working branch of some crazy new ideas that you have that are independent of either of those two things. So you've got all these different branches, forks in the road all over the place. You need to figure out where you are right now, and where you came from, and where you want to go next. And a lot of that has to do with this concept of a Git head and Git branches. And the more you have a solid grasp on that, I think the easier it becomes when you do start using Git very, very seriously. Because you want to kind of have some mental image of how all of this is happening. I'm going to try to provide that mental image through the sound of my voice. Okay, so let's look at GitHead in detail together. Now, in the past couple of episodes, we've created a working project space, which I think I just called HPR Git in my home directory. I did. And in HPR Git, I've got Alice, I've got Bob, and I've got Fake Remote. So I'll just go into Alice's directory right now. And if I do an ls, there's one file, 01.txt. And if I recall, we left this in a healthy state. Yet we did. And it says, hello world, and it says, welcome to Git. This is a version control system of indeterminate intelligence. To use Git effectively, listen to Klaatu's introduction on Git to Git on HBR. Oh, well, thanks, Alice. So it's not a very exciting project to look at, but it'll do. So now if I type in git branch, we should see the remnants of all of our past experimentations. Yeah, we do. So I'm on git branch, I'm on master. But in the past, there have been branches, or there are branches now, called dev, bob dev, and alice revision. So that's four branches total, right? Master, dev, bob dev, and alice revision. Now, if you'll recall, when we first created all of this, all of these repositories, we saw this secret directory called .get. So if I do an ls-a, we see that there is indeed still a .get directory. And I told you not to ever go into .get and not to really mess around with it. And I'm still telling you that, but we might as well take a look. I mean, we're curious beasts. So let's do a cat of .get. No, let's not do a cat yet. Let's just do an ls on .get. And you'll see in there that there is this file called head. All capital letters. So let's do a cat on .get capital H-E-A-D. So if I do a cat of .get head, then it's a single line, and currently it says ref colon refs slash heads slash master. That's interesting. So I wonder what that's referring to. Well, if we look back up at our list of .git, we'll see that in addition to this one file called head, there was also a directory called refs, which is exactly what this string starts with, head refs. So let's do an ls on .git slash refs, and sure enough, we see that in that directory, there's a directory called heads, plural now. And if you look in slash heads, you see that there's Alice revision, there's Bob dev, and there's dev, and there's master. Do those sound familiar to you at all? Of course they do. They are our current branches. They're the branches that we created so long ago. They're still there. References of them are here. So as an experiment, just a wacky experiment, let's do a git branch dash d as in delete, and that is what it means. That is what we are going to do. And let's get rid of bob dev, bob underscore dev. I'm just going to delete that branch. And it tells me as feedback, deleted branch bob dev was B6CA8F2. So now let's do an ls in .git slash refs slash heads again. And sure enough, our total number of heads have been reduced to 3. Alice revision, dev, and master. So the reference to bob dev is gone. So when you're creating branches, that's what these things are. That's what's happening. Behind the scenes, it is creating, I guess, what we could call a bookmark kind of a bookmark, really, to a specific point in your Git repository, a certain version of your Git repository. But don't worry about that too much right now. But that is exactly what branches are. Like, if you think, well, when I create a Git branch, how is that happening? This is what's happening. That this is exactly what's happening. So if you do an ls-l on .git slash refs slash heads, plural, you see that each branch is exactly 41 bytes of information. And we can even, if we're really curious, we can do a cat of .git slash refs slash heads, and let's cat master, and this returns a SHA sum, which is too long to memorize, but we can remember the first three and the last three. So it's C9C and EC0 is the hash that we have here in master. So what do you suppose that's referring to? Well, if we do a git log, then you'll see that refer, or that in this message, in the message that is returned to us from Gitlog. I think I've mentioned Gitlog before, right? This is kind of the history of everything that we've done in this Git repository. And you see that the very top result of Gitlog, and actually, if you don't want to see all that information, we can do a Gitlog dash dash one line. That's all one string, just one line. And that gives you just kind of the highlights of your Git log. So it gives you the first part of the hash and a brief description of what that commit was. So we see the top one, the top result on this one is C9CD11F. And if we do that cat again on .git /ref/head/master, we'll see that, oh, there it is, C9CD11F. So yeah, that's the same one. So in other words, this head entity called master is currently it currently matches our latest commit. So that's kind of interesting. Now let's do a cat of .git/head, all capitals. If you'll recall, that referred to refs/heads/master. So in other words, head, the magic word head with all capital letters, H-E-A-D, is a sort of a symlink or a pointer or a reference to a specific branch, which is called master. So now if I create, I'm going to say echo, this is my new file, into a new file called 02.txt. Okay, so now I've just changed my current state, my current working directory has now changed, right? Before I had 01.txt with a bunch of stuff about Git, and now I've got this new file which did not exist before called 02.txt with something inane dumped into it. So has that changed anything? Well, yeah, it's changed my working directory. My workspace is now different. It is no longer the same as it was before, as of my last commit. It has moved forward, right? I committed this, what we'll call C9C. I committed that. It took sort of a photograph of it and gave it a hash, a little SHA-SUM, so that we can identify it. So I'll just call it C9C because that's easy. And that's what returned when I said git log. That was the latest commit. And now I have changed the contents of this directory. So if we were to somehow take a snapshot of what we have right now, that would be different, right? That would result in a different SHA-SUM than what our latest commit had. We have moved forward in time from our latest commit. Okay, so let's do another cat of .git/refs/heads/master. And now, if you look at the result, it is still, for me, C9CD11F, meaning that the head reference is still on the latest commit, meaning that I have gone forward in relation to where head is pointing in my work. So if you think of, for instance, that tape deck analogy, then I've recorded content on the tape that the playhead has not yet experienced. So if we're playing back a cassette tape, we're on the part that we're on the part of the song that has not happened yet. We're at the bridge. Playhead's way back here on the first verse. If we're thinking of it more along the lines of my physical demonstration with the camera pointing at your tabletop and you've written things on paper, then what's basically happened is that your camera is looking down at your Hello World paper, and you've taken a pen and you've written some stuff on that other piece of paper that your camera's not pointing at yet. Okay? So that is what is happening. So head is still pointing to the current commit, to the current branch even. Now, if we did something crazy, like we did a git checkout of, actually, I don't remember what branches are, so git branch. Okay, so now we'll do a git checkout of Alice_revision. We've switched to the branch Alice_revision, and we're all up to date with origin/Alice_revision. And now if I do an ls, I see that I've got my original file, hello world, but I've still got my 02.txt. That new file that I dumped in is still here in my workspace. And that's fine, and that is to be expected, because uncommitted changes travel with you. They haven't been... Remember I said in, I think two episodes ago, maybe one, I was talking about sort of... I was making the analogy of using GIMP, where you get... You cut something out of a picture, but before you haven't anchored it yet. So it's kind of this floating layer. And that's what all of my new changes are. They're still in the future as far as the playhead is concerned. So what is our head then? Has that changed still or yet, or is that still the same? Well, let's check it out. So we'll do a cat. If you remember where the head information is kept, it's get a cat on .git/ all capital head. And now it says that it's refs/heads/Alice_revision. So I'm imagining that if I do a cat of .git/refs/heads/Alice_revision, I should get a different SHA-SUM back. I should not see C9C11F or whatever it was. And indeed that is correct. So the new SHA-SUM of my head is E3A0493CC. So this head is referencing a different commit. It's a different version of, well, reality. So watch what happens if you do a git log --one line. You'll see that history itself has changed. So the top entry in your git log is this E3A0493. We've never seen that before, or maybe we have, but certainly wasn't at the top of our git log. And then there's 7e6, and df1, and d262. There's this whole sort of history in this branch that doesn't really exist in our master branch. So if I do a git checkout of master, and I do the same command, git log one line, then I could kind of compare the two. I could say, okay, well, the top one on Alice revision was e3a. The top one in my master branch is C9C. Okay, well, that's different. But the second one in my master is E3A. So the second one down from my master is the first one down from Alice revision. Why would they be the same? Well, that's because we, at some point in the previous episodes, we took Alice's revisions and merged them into master. So we brought at least some portion of her history into our master branch. Now, interestingly, it diverges a little bit at some points. There are some things that appear in Alice's history that do not appear in the master branch. And there might be some things, certainly, in the master branch that do not appear in the Alice's branch. And the same would be true if we switched over to the dev branch, or if we hadn't deleted Bob's branch. We would see a completely different history sometimes, and then some similarities other times. It just kind of depends. Okay, so we've still got this weird file hanging out with us, this 02.txt. And that's okay. It's not committed yet. It's not staged for being committed. It's just hanging out. In fact, if we do a git status, we'll see that there is an untracked file called 02.txt. So git basically doesn't know what to do with this thing. It has no idea what it should do with 02.txt. Now, we'd be foolish to work on our master branch, because if we checked in bad code, we could break things. So we wouldn't want to do that, even though I do it in real life all the time, which is not a good idea. So I'm trying to get away from that, because it's really it's poor practice. So I guess I don't actually do it all that much anymore. I work at least in a branch, and then merge to master, and then push to master, although I should probably, to be fair, maintain a more active dev branch. Anyway, as I'm getting distracted here, so we're just going to make a new branch for ourselves, because branches, as we have seen, are cheap. They're free and they're cheap. So you can do a git branch. We'll just do new file is what we'll call the branch, all one string. And now if I do a git status, it'll tell me that I'm on branch. Oh, I want to git checkout new file. There we go. And now if I do git status, I'll see that I'm on branch new file. And there's still that untracked file of o2.txt. So what I'm going to do on this branch is completely safe. I can do whatever I want to. So I could do something like echo, here is more text in the file. And I'll redirect into 0.2.txt. And then I guess I'll go ahead and just, I guess I might as well just commit that. So I'll git add 0.2.txt, and then I'll git commit dash m for message, added a second file. There, now I'm done. I haven't pushed that to my remote yet, but so I should probably do that, right? Because this is, if my computer dies today, then I'll want to know that it's backed up somewhere. So I'll do a git origin, git push dash u, right? The dash u means send my branch to the remote, origin, and then again, head. So just to remind ourselves, where is head right now? Well, okay, so we're not going to git push yet. We're going to back up. So let's do a cat of .git slash capital head, and it's telling me that it's pointing to ref's head's new file. That makes sense. So then if I do a cat of .git slash ref's slash heads slash new file, it gives me a new SHA-SUM, EF38806. Okay, so where does that come from? Well, that's my latest commit, right? The one that I just made. Added a second file, EF38806, blah, blah, blah. So it knows that I have now, into the view of my camera, I have moved that piece of paper that was kind of off-screen for a while, I've moved that under the head of my workings, of my Git repository. So now if I git checkout master, and I do an ls, 0.2.txt is gone. It's missing. Where did it go? Well, that 0.2.txt file, we've just changed what our camera is looking at again, right? We had that new text, that 0.2.txt file, under our camera, in our view, and then we swapped it out for master. So anything that we wrote on that one piece of paper is now out of view. It's out of sight. Is it gone? No, we're not infants. We know that when something moves out of view, it doesn't necessarily cease to exist. It simply is not in view right now. So if we do a git checkout again, back to new file, we do an ls. There's 0.1.txt and there's 0.2.txt. So as you can see, it's really actually quite difficult to lose work in a Git repository, because you can always just kind of switch branches, right? You can bookmark any iteration of your world, of your workspace, and leave it behind. Just go wandering off onto some other tangent. And Git it's not like you've thrown the file away, it's not like you're abandoning it, you've just bookmarked it, you've said, you know what, keep that little snapshot of what this looked like, and don't ever show it to me until I ask for it. Hide it away from me in a branch all its own, and then I will come back later and I'll be sure to grab it. So now, if we do a git log dash dash one line, for on my current branch, which I think is a new file, yep, it is. So I'm going to do one line. Looking at the SHA-SUMs, I've got a pretty straight mimic of my master branch. I've got the EF388, and then it goes to C9C, and then E3A, and then the rest of master history. So this is a branch that has been forked off of master. It's been branched off of the master branch. So it's really, really similar to the master branch, which means that it's really easy to merge those two together. And we've done this before. So I'm going to check out, I'm going to do it git checkout master, and then I'm going to git merge. And if you'll recall, the default is to merge into whatever branch you're currently in. We know that we're in master because we just checked it out. So git merge new file. Now this is interesting. So watch, look what it says here. It says git merge new file, updating C9C to EF38806, and then it says the word fast forward. So remember how I was trying to give you this picture of like a playhead and a cassette recorder, and I said, oh, well, we've just added this new file, this 02.txt, and we've done that in the future. It's ahead of the playhead. The playhead has not experienced that music on that cassette tape yet. It's the bridge. The playhead is way back at the first verse. Well, that's what this is. That's what it, why it's calling this a fast-forward merge. It is taking the playhead, and it's sort of playing back the tape ahead of it. So all those new things that you wrote on the tape, the playhead is now experiencing. It is adding that to your reality, to your workspace. And now if we do an ls, we see that there are indeed on the master branch 01.txt and 02.txt. We have fast-forwarded our workspace. We are now current with our playhead, and our head has been updated, right? So if we do a cat on slash or dot git slash ref slash head slash master, we see that the reference, or the SHA-SUM rather, is EF388. And if we do a git log, you see that the latest commit is indeed SHA-SUM EF38, added a second file. So that's exactly what we would expect. Now, if we did something crazy, like rm02.txt. This is my least favorite command in all of Unixdom, is rm. I think it's a stupid command, and I'm using it. I'm blowing this file away just like the creators of rm intended for it to be, destructive and absolute. So rm0.txt. Now, in real life, maybe you didn't do that. Maybe you wouldn't remove a file, or maybe you would, but you'd know that you would just pushed it to git, so you wouldn't really care. But in real life, you tend to do stupid things, right? You think you have this great idea for a new function in a program, and it requires a little bit of refactoring, and so you go through and you start making changes, and by the end of the hour, you realize you've completely borked your program. Like, all of your ideas were bad, and you have completely scrambled the code, and it will not even pretend to launch anymore. So you start to panic, and you think, oh gosh, now I've really messed things up, and I never created a branch, and really bad things are happening. Well, the cool thing about this, and I mean, it depends on the situation, but let's assume that you had not committed anything, and we'll get to the cases where maybe you have committed stuff before. But the easy fix to that would simply be to return to the last known good state, which, as you and I now know, is called head. The way to return to head is you do a git, so I'm going to just do an ls, so I've only got 01.txt now. That's all I've got. I've got no 02.txt anymore. I've removed it. It's gone. Everyone knows that if you do that on Unix, it's gone. So now we'll do a git reset head, all capital H-E-A-D, and hit return. Now, this doesn't work the way that you think it works. So it says, it's telling me, hey, there are unstaged changes after your reset, and the unstaged changes are the deletion, or the capital D, of 02.txt. So what does that mean? Well, if we do an ls, it basically boils down to the fact that the 02.txt is still gone. It's still missing. So now you're really starting to panic. Well, fear not. So git reset is a fairly friendly command, and in this case, it doesn't seem friendly. It seems like it's conspiring against you. But what it's doing is it's looking at the state of your workspace, and it's saying, well, I don't think you really want to reset, because you've got changes here. And if I reset, you're going to lose all of your changes. So that's a really, really useful safeguard in the event that maybe you are trying to do something that would result in major loss of data. Like stuff that you've got sort of in the works, and you do an accidental git reset for some reason, and suddenly, you know, your unique data has gone missing. So you don't want that to ever happen, and that's why it defaults to not doing what you think it's going to do. So git reset dash dash hard head. So dash dash hard and then space head, all capitals. That's like a force. It forces the reset. So head is now at EF3888. Added a second file. Well, that sounds familiar. We do an ls, and there's 01.txt and 02.txt. Sure enough, they're back. So there you go. That's how you can leverage the last known state of head as something that you can always return to. Now, there's more to this, because you can also fetch things from other last known good states. And this is kind of an important one, because a lot of people need to do this at some point in their lives. And that is to rescue a specific version of a file from some other commit, from some previous commit that they have done. So what we are going to do is we're going to try to rescue the really old version of 01.txt. Now, to find out what that would be, we can do a git log, dash dash one line, I guess. And it looks like we first added that file back in D5.2. That's probably a pretty basic version of that file. So let's do it. So what if we didn't know all of that information? Well, we know the commit hash, right? Because we see it here in our git log. One really handy command or option for git log is git log dash dash stat, S-T-A-T. And on a really basic, silly little project like this one, you might not even see the difference at first. But if you look carefully at each commit, at the log, at the bottom of each commit, like so before the next hash, it tells you what file got changed and or added at that commit point. So for instance, this most recent one, EF388, has added a second file, and then below that, 02.txt, and then it tells me how many changes were made to that file, one file change, two insertions, and then if you scroll down, 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 you see D52E37delta added a text file, 01.txt, one file changed, one insertion. So it kind of gives you an overview of the activity of each commit, which is really, really handy. If you're working with lots of other people, sometimes you want to see what exactly all the changes encompassed, so you can just do a git log dash dash stat. Another way you can do it if you don't need all of that information is git log dash dash name dash only. You see the file that got changed. So on the first one, it's 02.txt, 01.txt was changed. So it just tells you the name. It doesn't tell you how many files were added or anything like that. So it's a little bit shorter. So that's how you could find out both the commit hash and the files that are available in that commit. So it's a little bit like looking at, you know, at those old versions. Now you can even do it differently. You could do get this. So I'm going to do a git log again, but I'm going to do it on one line because I want to see them all on one screen. So let's do this. Let's do a git checkout of D5 2E37 delta. So that's the very first, when we first started this project and added our very first file, we're actually going back in time, git checkout D5.2, and it gives me a big scary message, and it says things like checking out D5.2, that's not scary, but it says you are in detached head state. You can look around, make experimental changes, and commit them, and you can discard any commits you make in this state without impacting any branches by performing another checkout. If you want to create a new branch to retain commits you create, you may do so now or later by using the dash B with the checkout command again. Example, git checkout dash B, and then some name of a branch. Head is now at D52E37 delta, added a text file. So if I do an ls, I see 01.txt. If I cat 01.txt, I get the old version that just said hello world. Okay? So, but notice now that we are in what they call a detached head state. So what does that mean exactly? It's not that big of a deal. It's not as frightening as it might sound. Oh, I've detached the head. Was that supposed to come off? Was it supposed to come off like that? Yeah, it's fine. You can do that. It's just kind of an implication that time should only typically move forward. You should be, any work that you're doing in your Git repository should be done to the right of the head, the right-hand side of the head, you know, kind of like symbolically the future state of your repository. And now if you are detaching the head and moving back along the tape, you are now, well, in a what they call a detached head state, and it's just to represent that you're no longer in the linear path of your data necessarily. You're just looking at whatever branch in whatever state that you want to see it. You're not necessarily moving between current branches. I don't know if detached is the best term for that, but that's what they call it. So anyway, here we are. We're in a detached state. We're at D52E37 delta. So we can do a cat of 01.txt, which is the only file here. And yep, there it is. It is just the old hello world. That's all it contains. Super simple version of that file. So now I'll do a git checkout of master again. Yep, there we go. I'm on master. Head is undoubtedly the latest commit, so that's okay. And now we can do a git checkout D52E37D, and then just to break out of Git's normal flow, we're going to do a dash dash. So that's D52E37D space dash dash space, and then the name of the file you want to restore. So we know that is 01.txt. And now if I do a return there, I should be able to now do a cat 01.txt, and sure enough, it has been changed. It has been overwritten with the copy from way back when, from 752E37D. So we've just pulled one file from a previous commit and overwrote data in our current workspace with that file. So has that changed the state of our head? This is a little bit of a tough question. Has it changed the state of our head? No, it has not. Now, if you got that wrong, don't worry. You will get it eventually. But if you do a cat.git/refs, and I'm going to explain why we haven't if you've got that wrong. Master E5388, right? So it's that top entry on our Git log. Remember, head always points to some commit on some branch. Head is never pointing to a workspace. That is what a branch is for. You can create branches, and that's a little sandbox for you to do whatever you want. You can pull in files from the past and paste them back in. You can change files. You can delete them. You can do whatever you want in a branch. Head always points to something that has been committed. It's a fixed point in time. Everything else in branches and stuff, that's a little bit looser. That you can create branches, you can delete them, you can mess them up, you can do whatever you want in a branch. It's free for all. Okay? So, now that what state are we in now? Well, we know where our head is. It's on master. It's on the latest commit of master. That's cool. But what does our workspace look like? So we do a git status, and it tells us that we are on branch master. That's good. And it tells us your branch is ahead of origin master by one commit. It also tells us that the git that the file is modified. 01.txt is a modified file. So, if we wanted to make this change permanent, like if we really liked the first version of 01.txt, then we can just do a git add, just like normal, .01.txt, git commit. Actually, we liked our first version better. And then git push origin head. So now we've got C9C has been advanced to EC15B30. So in other words, our head has moved to the latest commit of master. And if we do a git log, we'll see that the latest commit on master is EC15B3. And it says, actually, we liked our first version better. And if we do a git log dash dash stat or name only, then we'll see that, yep, 01.txt had a bunch of deletions. One file changed, one insertion, six deletions. And of course, if we do a cat on dot git slash ref/head/master, we see that it is pointing to EC15B. Now if we do a git status, it tells us that we are on branch master, our branch is up to date with origin master, and there's nothing to commit, and the working directory is clean. I hope this has been somewhat informative. I think the concept of what the git head is frequently confuses people, and it's one of those things that you can go for years and not have to understand. And then slowly, as you continue to do more and more complex git operations, you realize you really do need to kind of understand that thing. So if you don't understand it right now, I honestly wouldn't worry about it. I would keep living your life the way that you live it, do whatever you want, respect no authority, just go crazy. But at some point, if you start doing weird things like, oh, I've got to do these git rebases and these git merges and these git checkouts from the past and all these other things, and I don't understand why it keeps warning me that my head is here but my head is there, and that my working directory is in such a state and my detached head and all these other things, if that starts to confuse you, then come back to this episode, re-listen to it, and try to wrap your mind try to wrap your head around git head. I think we have a title. Thank you very much for listening. I will continue the git series at some point in the future, and you will fast forward your git head to experience those changes.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.